Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he too passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Okay. Our other scriptures are just one lines, but they say the message that I want to convey today. From Romans 12, verses 13, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers." From Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." And another Hebrews verse 13, verse 16, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And from 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 10, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another, whatever gift each of you has received." Hospitality. It's a forgotten art for sure. True hospitality is emotionally powerful. It touches something very deep in us, our profound human longing to feel accepted, to belong, to be loved, to be safe, to be valued, and most of all, to be respected. I have been in the hospitality industry for most of my working life. It is both a rewarding but sometimes frustrating profession, as those of you who have tried it can attest. There were days I felt very proud of the service I delivered to my customers in the early days of working, and to the patients in the dental office I worked at until my recent retirement. However, there were days I had to bite my lip as I listened patiently to the whiners and the complainers. But after all, the customer is always right. For the most part, I got a great deal of satisfaction that I was able to help and educate people about their dental health and the options available to them. Hospitality is defined as the friendly reception of treatment of guests or strangers in a warm and generous way, being favorably receptive and open to others. Unfortunately, hospitality is a term that seems to be non-existent in today's culture, almost non-existent, sorry. I remember growing up and what a delight it was to visit my Nana. She always made me feel so welcome in her home. She baked her own bread, and I was allowed to have a very thick slice. Now, back home in England, where I grew up, that was referred to as a doorstep, because that's what it resembled. I buttered the bread and lavished it with strawberry jam, homemade, of course. It didn't matter that supper may only be a short time later. My Nana always said I had enough room to eat both, as I had hollow legs. Now that I'm older, I realize the importance of her hospitality. She showed her love through her actions, not just her words. We don't seem to practice hospitality as much today, opting to go to a restaurant rather than inviting people to our home where we show people how much we care about them. I was glad to be able to participate in the Winers and Diners Club while I was here in Okotoks. It fulfilled me on two levels. Firstly, I was able to practice my love of cooking, which was actually my first career choice. And secondly, I was able to welcome people into my home to enjoy a meal, have good conversation, make new friends, and share a laugh or two with all. Sure, entertaining is not easy. It's a lot of work. But the benefits far outweigh the extra work it entails. Like in making sure those little soaps were in the bathroom and that the toilet seat was down, which is, of course, is where it should be. Right? People complain about things that they don't want to do. It's human nature, I guess. But hospitality requires kindness. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." God commands us to be hospitable, but he already knows some of us will complain about it. I see people in the hospitality industry today that just don't get it. They don't get the concept of hospitality. They're there simply because they have to be. It's a paycheck. But hospitality requires you to be kind and sincere and to generally care about the customer you're looking after. The passage in Hebrews comes to mind. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. What a powerful message that is. When we show hospitality to a stranger, we may just be serving an angel of God. But that's easier said than done, you may ask. Strangers today are looked upon with fear and apprehension, much more than in generations past. This is due in part, I think, to the general moral decline of our society. The more we have moved away from God, the more sinful, violent, and scarier people have become. Having said that, we should still try to be hospitable while being vigilant of our own safety. It seems society today has a me-first attitude, and looking after others has fell by the wayside. Like many people who welcome Jesus into their homes, we should try and do the same. When we serve others, we are one with Christ. The next quote was on the front of a church bulletin. I liked it so much I brought it home and I read it often, and it reads, "Hospitality is not about inviting people into our perfect homes. It is all about inviting people into our imperfect hearts." Hospitality comes from deep inside of us. When you open the door for someone, when you help your elderly neighbor bring in the groceries, or if you look after someone's children that they might attend a doctor's appointment and not expect to be paid, or if you provide the person in front of you at the coffee counter the change to buy a cup of coffee because they don't have enough money. All these examples provide the same reaction, profound gratitude and a thank you from those you helped. You hope that your act of kindness will make them want to do the same to everybody else. Serving others makes you feel good, but it's more than doing a good deed. It is a mindset towards life. It's not just about the meal you gave or someone or the bed you so graciously offered. It's the message that you send to that person, that you value them and are willing to share what is yours. a lighter note, I found this quote from C.E. Murphy, which reads, "In Ireland, you go to someone's house," and I apologize right now for the Irish accent that may or may not come out. "In Ireland, you go to someone's house and she asks you if you want a cup of tea and you say, 'No, thank you, you're just fine.' She asks, 'Are you sure?' You say, 'Of course you're sure. Really? You don't need a thing.' Except in Ireland, it's pronounced ting. You don't need a ting. 'Well,' she says, 'I was going to get myself some anyway, so be no trouble.' 'Ah,' you say, 'well, if you were going to get yourself some, I wouldn't mind a spot of tea, so long as it's no trouble and I can give you a hand in the kitchen.' Then you go through the whole thing again until you both end up in the kitchen drinking tea and chatting. In America, if someone asks you if you want a cup of tea and you say no, then you don't get any damn tea." I like the Irish way better. "Well, it's been 20 years since I had the privilege to serve on a mission to provide free dentistry to the people who live in the remote villages near the capital of Honduras. The one thing that has stuck in my mind all these years is the incredible hospitality shown to our team when we were working. On one particular occasion, we were invited to one house for lunch. I remember going into their modest two-room house, which consisted of a bedroom, yes, that's just one bed, and a meager kitchen area, which had a table and some chairs in it. And this is for a family of four or five people. We were served lunch, which consisted of a bologna sandwich and a piece of fruit. I remember thinking it was the best bologna sandwich I had ever eaten, and I was so grateful. They kept apologizing that it was not a very special lunch, but to me, it was more than I could have wished for, because they gave all that they had. But what about hospitality in the church? How do we fare? Do we practice hospitality? Is it even mentioned in the Bible? Well, yes, actually, 88 times. There are scriptures alluding to the fact that we should be hospitable or welcoming. It's all about making people feel loved and special. The Bible mentions that every believer is given at least one spiritual gift that they can use in the service to Christ. Our gifts aren't always for our own benefit, but for the enrichment of others. In the book of 1 John, it is made quite clear that when we show others, when we love others, we're showing our love for God. He loves us unconditionally, equally, when we love and serve others in the community through hospitality. How do we show hospitality in the church? Well, a few examples would be coffee and snacks after the service, or putting together a meal after a funeral, or providing a comforting word to someone in need. All these acts of kindness are so important. But what else can we do to build a vibrant, loving, and caring congregation and make sure all are welcome? Keith, can I get you to show those slides, please? I'm sure if everybody can read that. The whole church watched with nervous anticipation as the visitors sat where the Martins had sat for 42 years. Oh boy. Look familiar. And our next one, Keith. After service coffee. Everybody gathers around, and the poor guy in the middle is there saying, "Okay, what do I do now?" Not very good hospitality. Do we make newcomers feel welcome from the time they enter our building? We want to make sure every first-time visitor is shown that we care about them and that they belong. And in the coming weeks, did we remember to follow up with them? Hospitality requires a change of attitude. Many times people come and go to church services and they are scarcely noticed. Biblical hospitality requires that we treat every person that walks through our doors as someone very important, someone we can share our faith and our ideas with. Most church scholars have determined that a first-time visitor makes his or her mind up about coming back to the church in the first 7 minutes. Not much time to make a good impression, is it? Hospitality is a shared responsibility. It's important that we all make people feel welcome with a handshake and a smile. We are all comfortable with one another, but to a first-time visitor, to walk into a room full of strangers can be a bit overwhelming. And as I showed in the cartoon, it is never okay to ask them to move because they're sitting in your seat. While some of us are better than others at speaking to someone we have never met, the least we can do is to say hello and direct them to someone who has that gift. My husband and I attended a church regularly quite some time ago now, for a few years, and although our fellow parishioners were friendly enough to each other, we never felt part of the inner circle, so to speak. The church service was very traditional and conducted well, but we knew it was going to be a long time before we would be allowed to participate in any activities or to feel like we were useful members of the church community. Church scholar Lyle Schaller, in an article on assimilating new members, wrote that approximately one-third to one-half of the folks in a church congregation really don't have a sense of belonging. Our goal for all our efforts is to see that first-time visitors return a second time and then come back on a regular basis because they have a sense of belonging. They have found a church that they can call their own. It is easy for them to fall through the cracks. It is not enough to say hi, show them where the bathroom is, and then forget that they existed. Be proud of what your church has to offer them, but please get to know them first before you ask them to head up the steering committee. You need to build a friendship first and make them feel you genuinely care about them. Once they feel connected, they know what they will offer. For some, it may only be a place to come to where they feel safe and to receive an inspiring message, and that's okay too. Food is an important part of hospitality, and for us United Churchgoers, it's something we do very well. It has a way of bringing us together around the table where the barriers seem to disappear. Everybody relaxes and enjoys each other's company. Preparing good food is a way to show people your love. And as my story about Honduras alluded to, it doesn't have to be elaborate. A simple sharing of what you made with your hands is very satisfying. Our lives have become so busy to the point that a family meal around the table is fast becoming a disappearing reality. TV and takeout have taken over. Don't let that happen. Try and make time to sit down, eat with the family, and discuss the day's activities. And if you are alone, then this is a good time to pray to God. It is very powerful. Something deep inside us makes us all want to be loved, to feel accepted, to feel we belong, and to be valued. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. To him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit." Amen. We have stations either side. If any of you want to go to those stations, if you have a